بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, الحمد لله، الله سبحانه وتعالى has given us a deen which is so easy to practice and which has this wonderful quality that things which we do, which are small things in terms of the effort it takes, in terms of the time it takes, but those small things have huge benefits, major benefits. Now, there is a downside to that, which is that because they are small, we tend to disregard them. Even though we know them, we don't pay attention to them. And so we lose out on this big benefit. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a smile is sadaqah. Now, what is the meaning of sadaqah? Sadaqah means that this is charity which you are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. What is the value of the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The value of one hasana, the value of one reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. It's as simple as that. On the Day of Judgment, the value of one good deed, one hasana, is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. Now, how much effort does it take to smile? But do we smile or do we not smile? Even at our closest and nearest, usually we actually smile less at our closest and nearest than at others. In our formal behavior, we are more smiley than we are in our private behavior. Similarly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, there are two words, kalimatani, which are light on the tongue and very heavy on the scale. And what are those two words? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Just this. Now we do so much zikr. How many times do we do this? Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Small thing, but has huge, major benefits and rewards. Light on the tongue and heavy on the scale on the Day of Judgment. Similarly, the famous hadith of our mother Juwayriya radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where she was sitting in her place at the time of Salatul Fajr, she prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left and went away somewhere after Fajr. He came back at the time of Zohar, and she was still sitting there. So he asked her, have you been sitting here from the time I left you at the time of Fajr? She said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, what were you doing? She said, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, shall I teach you something which, if you just do that four times, it will give you more reward than what you have been doing? Meaning that just saying this four times is more rewarding than sitting in dhikr from the time of Fajr to the time of Zohar. And you can do your own calculations in Medina, how many hours that must have been. Easily about 6 hours, maybe more than that. And what is that? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught her the dhikr of which he taught her. He said, I have done this four times, and the reward of that is more than this zikr of all these hours. Subhanallah wa bihamdi adada khalqi wa rida nafsi wa zinata arshi wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshi wa midada kalimati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqi ورضا نفسه وزينة أرشه ومداد كلماته. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزينة أرشه ومداد كلماته. That's it. And that, in Alhamdulillah, inshallah, gave us the reward equivalent to and more than 6 hours or 8 hours, Allah knows best, of zikr, continuous zikr. Small things, but which have huge rewards. Take sending salat and salam on Rasulullah. How much effort does it take? But Rasulullah said that the one who sends salat and salam on me one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends blessings on that person 10 times. So Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. I have said this once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent blessings on me 10 times. Why did I use this particular durud Ibrahim? Because this is the durud that Rasulullah taught the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. When they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, how must we send salat and salam on you? When the ayat of Suratul Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. When this ayat came, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to send salat and salam on you. How must we do that? And Rasulullah taught them this dhikr. Of course, there are other ways of sending salat and salam on Rasulullah. It is his right that we should say, at least the minimum is to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam when we hear his name, when somebody says Rasulullah or somebody says Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It must not pass by us without us saying sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You don't have to say it loudly, but we must say it. This is the minimum, this is the haqq of the Nabi on his ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the most stingy, the most bakhil is the person who hears my name and does not send salat and salam. And we also have the hadith of that was in Ramadan itself, where he climbed on the minbar and he said Ameen 3 times. One of them was for this. I don't want to talk about that now, inshallah, that we will do later. Now, the point I'm making is that this is the beauty of this deen, that small things have huge value. Now, question is, what do we do? Do we practice them or not? Another one, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in a hadith in Muslim Sharif, he narrated, he said that Rasulullah recited in the 2 sunnah rak'at of Fajr Salah, Suratul Kafirun in the 1st rak'at and Suratul Ikhlas in the 2nd rak'at. 2 sunnah of Salatul Fajr, he recited Suratul Kafirun in the 1st rak'at and Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, in the 2nd rak'at. And this is narrated by Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu in Muslim Sharif. In another hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which is in Ibn Majah and Tirmidhi, Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, I cannot count how many times I have heard Rasulullah recite in the 2 rak'at after Maghrib and in the 2 rak'at before Fajr, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun and Suratul Ikhlas. 1st rak'at, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. 2nd rak'at, Suratul Ikhlas. So it is very clear that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah in the sunnah of Salatul Fajr and the sunnah of Maghrib. Now, in the salah of Rasulullah as described by Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayh in his book, The Prophet's Prayer, he says that Rasulullah ﷺ heard a man reciting Suratul Kafirun in the 1st rak'at. So he said, this is a slave who believes in his Rabb. He heard this man reciting this in the 1st rak'at, Suratul Kafirun. So he said, this is a slave who believes in his Rabb. Then the man recited Suratul Ikhlas in the 2nd rak'at. And so Rasulullah ﷺ said, this is a slave who knows his Rabb. Yeah, he said he's a slave who knows his Rabb. So this is definitely a sunnah that we want to incorporate in our lives. This whole narration about this was sent to me by one of my dear friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all these people who share all these good things. Now the point is that in another narration also it says that the one who recites Suratul Kafirun in the first rakat and Suratul Ikhlas in the second rakat, in Salatul Fajr, in the Sunnah of Salatul Fajr and in the Sunnah of Salatul Maghrib, is protected from nifaq. The person who recites in the Sunnah of Salatul Fajr and Salatul Maghrib, Suratul Kafirun in the first rakat and Suratul Ikhlas in the second rakat, is protected from nifaq, is protected from hypocrisy. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hypocrisy and nifaq. I remind myself and you, let us focus on these and many more things, where if we think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things so easy for us. So easy for us that we have just a little bit of effort and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us huge rewards. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us focus on that. Take for example the sunnahs of Rasulullah, how simple and easy they are. For example, the sunnah of clipping your nails. We all clip our nails. You can't live without clipping your nails. But if you do them according to the sunnah of Rasulullah, it becomes an act of worship. It becomes an act of ibadah, meaning that Allah will actually reward you for clipping your nails. You would have clipped your nails in any case. And what is that sunnah? You start with the index finger of your right hand. Hold your hands up like you hold them up in dua. Start with the index finger of your right hand. Go right across to the thumb of your left hand. And then clip the nail of the thumb of your right hand last. Starting with the index finger of your right hand. Go across to the thumb of the left hand. And then clip the nail of the thumb of the right hand the last. This sunnah, if you do it with that intention to say that I am doing this to revive the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, alhamdulillah, niyat does not mean you have to stand there and recite that niyat. This is in your heart, that why are you doing it like this? You could have clipped your nails anyway, in any way you liked. It's not a sin to clip your nail in some other way. But the point here is, it's not a question of sin or not sin. The question is, here is something for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. Why would you want to do it any other way when you are a Muslim? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whenever you wear your shoes, he said, shake them out. Right? So whether it's shoes or slippers or whatever, shake them out. Now, just that action, just shaking them out, and shaking does not mean you have to, dance all over the place with it. Just pick them up and put them down. First of all, it's a good thing because sometimes you might find, something in the shoe or maybe some insect crawled in there or something, you put your foot, you get bitten. Now, that does not happen. If you shake your shoes out, you are safe. But other than that, if you do that with this intention, every time you put on your shoes, you are getting a hasana. You are getting a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so many of these. I think this is enough for today. Let us think about this and say, let us try to inculcate them in our lives. What is it that I can do which is easy to do? And of course, I can't live without mentioning my favorite one, which is for men to grow beards, which does not even need effort. That is something that happens automatically. Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, grow your beard and clip your mustache, not shave the mustache, but clip the mustache. Grow your beard and clip the mustache. Keep it short. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't ask us to shave it. So these are some things which I think are important for us to keep in mind. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to use this Ramadan to change our lives, to bring about change in our lives, which will make our lives more productive and inshallah prepare us for the akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmal alamin.